Are you all right? Good to see you all. Thanks for leading worship, Andrew. Thank you, band. Amazing. Great. Right. We are, Gemma said we were starting a series. Actually, we're into our second week on a series on the work and the person of the Holy Spirit. We started it last week and we've just had our week of prayer. If you made it to a week of prayer meeting during the week, what we've done is we've just begun to practically work and pray into the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we've done that in a really kind of practical, workshoppy way. It's been great fun. And we've all, I think, learnt a bit and gone a bit deeper, and it's been really good. So what we're doing is we're taking a break from our current epic series on Matthew's Gospel. We're not going to restart that until after we're back from the Catalyst Festival at the end of May. And we're going to have 3 weeks now just looking at some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how we use them practically today. And I hope it's going to be quite hands-on, quite experiential. We're going to try some of this stuff, and that includes today. So the warning is, when the preach finishes, we're going to do some stuff, okay? Not in our own strength, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Does that sound okay? Brilliant. Right. So this morning, I'm going to be talking about prophecy. Let's get everything out on the table. I am not somebody that you would call a New Testament prophet. I am not somebody that has the gift of prophecy. However, as we're going to discover, all of us can prophesy.
That's right.
Okay? And so we're going to get practical about it. We're going to look at some stuff. We're going to look at some Bible. But I think it's useful to know I'm not standing here as some great modern prophet who's prophesied all kind of future things. Those people do exist, and we've even got one or two of them in our church. But all of us can prophesy, yeah? Right, great. Before we get into that, let's have a quick recap of what we covered last week. So last week, we looked at kind of who the Holy Spirit was, or is, rather, what the Holy Spirit does in our lives, how he does it, and why he does it. So if you remember, we started thinking about Adam and Eve in the garden. And what was there? The presence of God. The presence of God was with Adam and Eve. They were in the garden. They were walking together. They were talking together. They were doing stuff together. And that is how it's meant to be. Then Adam and Eve wanted to go their own way. They saw independence from God, if you remember, that the point at which Eve ate the fruit from the tree that God had told them not to. And that kind of independent streak in us was seeded in us at that point and remains in us today, which gives us a problem. We are separated from God. We are exiled from him, and Adam and Eve were exiled out of the garden. It was protected by a fiery angel with a sword. And we can't know God's presence, or we couldn't know God's presence. And then we looked at a few examples in the Old Testament where God drew a people to him so his presence could be with the people. But at that point, it couldn't be in the people. And so God told Moses to build a tabernacle, and he built this tent that they transported around the desert with them, and the tent reminded them of the garden. And God's presence came and powerfully, visibly filled this tent and this place within it. And it started a longing in Moses, which was continued through the prophets, to be that all people would one day be filled like the tent was filled, like God was with Adam and Eve in the garden. And then later on, we get the kings, and King David comes and wants to build a proper house for God, and God tells him he can't, but he says, your son can. And so Solomon builds a temple, and what does God do? He powerfully fills the temple in the most amazing way with his presence. And this longing in the Old Testament goes on from the prophets, for the people to be filled, like God is filling the temple. Then Jesus comes. Yeah. Come on. Yay. Right. Jesus comes. Jesus isn't just filled with the presence of God. He is the presence of God, walking and talking on the earth. And just to make the link, at his baptism, what happens? The power of God visibly fills him. And And he says in his ministry, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will build it up again. And he's not talking about the temple that was built at that point. He's talking about himself. And what does he do? He's nailed to a cross. 3 days later, he's raised from the dead. And in that moment, all of our independence, all of our desire to do our own thing and go our own way, what the Bible calls sin, is dealt with. Once and for all, sin is dealt with. And the next thing that happens is Jesus tells the disciples to wait until they are filled with the Holy Spirit. The disciples gather. We know this story well. We read it in Acts 2. The disciples gather on the day of Pentecost. What happens? Holy Spirit comes in power, fills them in the most amazing way, just like he was with Adam and Eve in the garden, just like he filled the tabernacle, just like he filled the Old Testament temple, just like he demonstrated through Jesus, the disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit. And as a result, God's presence fills us. And God's presence is able to fill us. It's good news. It's good news. Sin is dealt with, and suddenly the power of God is not contained in a box in a building. It's contained in each of us. So this morning we're going to get practical. Okay? Holy Spirit gives us amazing gifts. And this morning I'm going to be talking about the gift of prophecy. Just after the Holy Spirit has been poured out on the disciples for the first time, Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, prophetically proclaims the word of God. This is an untrained fisherman. Okay? Stands up and he quotes the prophet Joel, stirred by the Holy Spirit. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens on above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark. The moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There are many different supernatural gifts that the Holy Spirit brings that are mentioned in the Bible, ranging from prophesying, which is what we're looking at today, through to healing and leadership and practical stuff like serving. Okay, I'm going to come back to serving in a moment. These supernatural gifts from God are given for a purpose, not just to make us feel better, not just to weird us out. They are given to strengthen and encourage and build up the church. It's God's intention to give each Christian certain gifts that they can use to demonstrate the power and love of God to other people. In order to move in these gifts, though, and it may sound obvious, we do actually need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not enough just to belong to a Spirit-filled church or to know all about the Holy Spirit by reading it in Scripture, but I am going to come back to that in a moment too. We need to be personally and continually filled with Him. And even if you've been previously filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to be continuously filled. It's an ongoing process. So before we go any further, I'm going to ask you a question. Ask yourself this. Am I filled right now? You don't have to tell anyone. Just ask yourself, am I filled right now? I'm going to pray. Father God, I pray that you would, those of us that want to be filled with you, I pray you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would put that desire in our hearts, that it would come from you. You would stir us to go deeper with you, to seek you. In Jesus' name, amen. And there's going to be an opportunity at the end, if you've not been filled with the Holy Spirit before, to come and be prayed for, to be filled. Before I talk to you about prophecy, I have to talk to you about something else. And that is love. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, Paul writes detailed instructions about spiritual gifts, including prophecy. And these instructions are written down in chapters 12 through to 14. So if you've got a Bible with you, I'm just going to invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians 12. And as you know, I'm somebody that likes kind of big picture Bible stuff. So it's great to preach from one passage. I also like taking whole chunks of scripture and kind of going through them. So I'm going to give you a bit of a summary of chapters 12 through to 14. So if you've got a Bible with you, you can just flick through as I'm summarising, and you can just check what I'm summarising is correct. So in verses 1 to 11, Paul talks generally about spiritual gifts in reply, clearly in reply to a question that the believers in Corinth ask him. They've clearly written him a letter, which we don't have. They ask him a whole bunch of questions, and Paul answers it in a kind of general way. He explains there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. And then in verse 7, we get a clue to the reason God gives us spiritual gifts. Paul says that a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? They're not given to us to make us feel good. They're given so that we can help each other. And he includes prophecy in that list. And then immediately after that section, we get a famous section that we, most of us, if you're a Christian, you've been a Christian for any length of time, you will know quite well. And that's this famous illustration of one body with many parts. Everybody know that one? Yeah? Paul uses this illustration of a body being made up of hands and ears and legs and hearts and all the rest of it. And the analogy is that that's each of us in the church making up this body. Which is, in fact, and this is a bit odd to get your head around, Christ's body. His point is, we're all different. We all receive different gifts. And the Holy Spirit amplifies different abilities in us. But working together, motivated by love, each of us makes up the body of Jesus, his church. So let's just stop for a moment and consider the wonder and the weight of that. Okay, just think about your place in that. That's why God fills you with the Holy Spirit. And then after that, we get the whole of chapter 13. Now, most of you, if you've been to a wedding, will know some of chapter 13. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless. This is interesting. Just as a complete aside, these spiritual gifts, which, let's face it, can be a bit strange and a bit weird, offer now, but they're not forever. Now, our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, i.e. when Jesus comes back, these partial things will become useless. What will last forever, says in verse 13, is faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And then how does Paul start chapter 14? First sentence, let love be your highest goal. The truth is that the Holy Spirit's gifts are gifts of a loving God to be used in love by God's loving people. So the next question I want to ask yourself this morning is, how much do I love God? And then have a look around. How much do I love these people? If you remember in verse 7 of chapter 12, Paul says a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. So here's a poignant thing to ponder this morning before we go any further. If you refuse to use the gifts the Holy Spirit gives you, you are kind of refusing to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. So the next time you're prompted by the Holy Spirit to bring a prophecy or some other contribution in a meeting, and you're nervously wondering if you can actually muster up the courage, and I've been there, ask the Holy Spirit to help you love your brothers and sisters more. And then bring what he's stirring you to bring. The whole point is that only by the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit can we fulfill the command that Jesus gives us in John 13, 34. Now, as you know, I will quote this a lot. So what does John 13, 34 say? Love one another. Thank you. And how will people know that Jesus are... Sorry. How will we know that we are Jesus' disciples? How will other people know that we are Jesus' disciples? By your love one for another. How do we do it? We do it by using our spiritual gifts. Everybody got that? Love is the key. Excellent. Now we can talk about prophecy. So, back to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. And then in verse 3, but one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, and we'll be talking about tongues in a future week, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. So, what is this prophecy thing? So, someone who prophesies is simply someone who is stirred up by the Spirit of God to bring encouragement and maturity to the hearers. The gift of prophecy is clearly something to be eagerly desired. And Paul wanted everyone to prophesy. All men and women, young and old, just as Joel prophesied. And we should therefore be a prophetic community. Prophets are those who move in a continuous way in this gift. But not everyone will be prominent in it. And as I said at the start, not all may be kind of called prophets, but all can prophesy. So what is prophecy and what does it do? Well, we find the roots of prophecy in the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, the prophet's primary role was to bring a clear proclamation with the presence of God. Part of that was by actually speaking out scripture. And in the New Testament, the first thing that happened after the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost was that Peter prophesied using scripture. Those verses in Joel that we started with this morning. So on Tuesday night in our week of prayer, we were focusing on this subject, on prophecy. And what we started by doing is doing something that as a church we're actually quite good at. See, we are a church that is well taught biblically. And one of the things we love to do is to read scripture to one another. And so on Tuesday night, we prayed for that and we encouraged that in us. But we don't just read out random verses of the Bible. What happens is that we're stirred by the Holy Spirit to bring it. So, Chris, I'm looking at you because you kicked off our first contribution this morning from the body, which was kind of God stirring a scripture in you. So, presumably, you were just had an urge that it had to be brought. And so you cried it out. And that's what it's like. We're actually quite good at it. And the relationship between prophecy and the Bible is really important because it's the Word of God that actually stirs up the Holy Spirit inside of us. The Word of God, to a certain extent, fuels the fire that the Spirit brings. And the more we know God's Word and we live it out, the more the Spirit seems to ignite us. Paul writes to Timothy in his second letter and just encourages Timothy to treasure the Word of God. And Jesus says in John 14, when the Father sends the Advocate, that is the Holy Spirit, as my representative, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you. Spirit and truth. When Jesus met the woman at the well right at the beginning of his ministry, he said, a time is coming when people will worship me in spirit and truth. We know the Bible and we should seek to know the Bible intimately. The Holy Spirit brings it alive in our hearts. But also, the Bible reminds us who the Holy Spirit is. Do you see how the two things work together, hand in hand? Also then, the Bible helps us to know whether a prophetic contribution is from God or not. The Word of God is how we weigh prophecy. Prophecy and actually every other gift will never contradict what's written in God's Word. God never moves outside of his Word, so every gift is backed up by Scripture, by its use, its vocabulary, and most certainly by being expressed in an atmosphere of love. Also, the other thing with prophecy is fulfillment of a prophecy is not the supreme test that someone is actually a prophet. Because even false prophets can get it right sometimes. You remember a few weeks ago, probably a month and a half ago or so, I was preaching about something else entirely, and we looked at this guy called Andy Warhol in the 1960s. And he, without even realising, prophesied that one day everybody would be famous for 15 minutes. Do you remember that? It's true these days with social media and YouTube. Doesn't make him a biblical prophet. A true test of a prophet is actually much more theological. The false prophet will draw people away from a true relationship with God, whereas a true prophet will always draw people into adoration and a closer relationship with God. The mark of a spirit-filled church, then, where prophecy is brought in love, is that the individuals that make up that church will have a deeper relationship with God and with each other. We will actively demonstrate the love and holiness of God to one another. So the Spirit stirring us to proclaim the Word of God is one way that we can prophesy. Another is that sometimes prophets see something over the horizon, or sometimes God reveals stuff to us that is coming over the horizon. In the Old Testament, prophets were often called seers, simply people who see. So what I'm going to do now, for the last 5 minutes or so, and in fact I'm going to ask the band to come back in a moment, is just to think about some of the other practical ways that prophecy is brought. So the first of those is proclamation, basically to declare what God has put you on your hearts. We've already said that often he will stir scripture in this way, but sometimes it can be a direct message, a direct revelation. I think God is saying this. And then we might have words of wisdom and knowledge, and these are actually only mentioned once in the Bible. Basically, it's a revelation from the Holy Spirit, a revelation from God. It's kind of not separate from prophecy, it's the same thing. They could be words of wisdom, or specific knowledge in a situation or a life of someone present. I had somebody came to me recently, in fact, Paul Basson, who's coming to speak on the Leaders' Day that we're having in a few weeks' time, on Saturday, next Saturday, in fact. Thank you, Andrew. I'm just trying to get my head around the fact that we're in May already. So Paul brought me a picture and said, James, this is for you. He said, I see you running around lighting fireworks and setting them off all over the place, and they're just going off, and then you've got this firework that just won't light properly, and you've actually got to pick it up in your hand and blow on it, which, as you know, is a really dangerous thing to do, and only then will it go off, but it will go off successfully. And it really spoke to me, one, about a lot of the things that I'm somebody that likes to make things happen, but also right now it's quite challenging, and I'm finding I can't make anything happen, which is helpful because I'm realising actually it's God that does it, it's not me. And two, just this picture that I've actually got to get my hands dirty, I've got to pick this thing up and blow on it a bit and make it go, it's really, really helpful. And that leads us into another one. So it was kind of both a word of knowledge, but also it was a picture. It was an illustration. And quite often when we're praying for one another, we will get these pictures that don't mean much to us as the person bringing the picture, but tend to mean an awful lot to the person receiving it. Can we have the band back? And then God will speak to us through dreams. Now, I know some people here, God speaks to them through dreams. They get these dreams and they have to wrestle with them and often pray further about what these dreams mean, often weigh it with others. What do these visions and pictures do? And there is something in this that is just, in fact, in many of these gifts, is we live in a very instant society. Often these things have to be weighed and thought about and can take some time before the thing's fully formed. So if you're somebody that kind of gets visions, dreams, direct sort of words from God to proclaim, sometimes you have to sit with it for a while. You have to let it marinate. And through prayer, God will add to it and bring it into its full picture. And then finally, and I love this one, puns and riddles. Now, if you've ever been to a powerhouse, you've ever been prayed for, sometimes this happens. Occasionally it happens, I get it. You get one word that is either a bit random or only means something to the other person. You know, Simon Brown is brilliant at this. He will often, God will point out something really random about somebody's T-shirt or something that they're wearing. And he will be able to bring something that, you know, kind of means both something to the individual and reveals something about God to them. So I quite like the fact that prophecy can be great fun. We've done a sort of whistle-stop tour of kind of what prophecy is and looked at, more importantly, and I spent quite a lot of time talking about our motivation for this. And our motivation has to be to love one another. That's why we're doing it. But what we're going to do now is we're going to create an atmosphere where we can get a little bit practical about this. So we're going to sing together, and the band are going to help us with that. And we're going to there's a bit of space either side to the front here. If you have never been filled with the Holy Spirit, or you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit more, then I'm going to ask you to come forward, and we will pray with you. If you're a member of Jubilee Church and you're feeling like you have enough of the Holy Spirit, then my encouragement is come and pray for those people, okay? Also, you may be somebody that, actually, as I've been speaking, the Holy Spirit's prompting you to desire the gift of prophecy, which is actually a biblical instruction. Eagerly desire the gift of prophecy. So we'd like to pray for you to receive that gift. If you have the gift of prophecy, or you have prophesied in some way, then let's pray for you to receive it more. And then what I'd like to do is draw us back together about 5 minutes before the end of the service. And we're going to come back together, and I'm going to ask what the Holy Spirit is stirring in you, and I'm going to get you to be brave and to speak it out. Does that sound okay? Brilliant. So we're going to worship, then we're going to do that stuff. Sound good?